Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I took some time out during the Christmas New Year period to spend some time alone with God. Just say to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do? I'm a servant of God. You are servants of God. We're all priests of God. And I really believe that as we spend time with the Lord, He takes us deeper. One of the understated and under-recognized parts of the triune nature of God is Holy Spirit. And as I was spending time with God just away from phones and literature and emails and text messages and phone calls and all that stuff, the Lord said, I want you to, in 2018, begin to focus deeper on the things of the Spirit. And you know, there's a world out there that are going deeper into their spiritual realm than the church per se is even thinking about when it comes to the things of the Holy Spirit. And we're accountable to God for that, friends. We may say we love God. We may say that we're followers of Jesus, but God did not send Jesus to remain on earth forever. God had a plan to call His Son back home to be with Him in preparation for the second coming. And in that wonderful passage in John chapter 16, Jesus begins to explain to the disciples that He has to go. And the timing is right. And the appropriateness is right. But He said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to stop and pause and think that what that would have been like. They've just come out of this stinking religious system where there was no hope, where there was no future, where there was no freedom, where there was no liberty. But all it was dogmatic doctrine being shoved down the throats of God's own people. The Gentiles were working against the people of God. The church per se were working against the people of God. The Romans were working, the enemies were working all against the people of God. And the Father said to Jesus, the time is now for you to lay down your life and come home to be with me. There's a season of time, we know, where God's going to say to His Son, now is the time to return. But in that immediate time, God said, I know my people will not be able to cope without me being there. The priests would have gone back to their ways. The religious people would have just drawn people to themselves and would have cost lives and would have cost finances and would have cost homes. But God in His wisdom says through His Son Jesus that He's going to send Holy Spirit to be with us. Absolutely, praise God. Holy Spirit is a gift from God. And I believe that the church has boxed the Holy Spirit in, has boxed the power of Jesus and His Word in, has boxed the love of God in, and it's all about us and building the church and you know, having a good time in church. But I believe the time is now to allow Holy Spirit to come back into our services, into our lives, into our homes, so that God can be glorified in all that we do. I believe over the next few weeks, God is going to use Holy Spirit to convict us all of the sin that's in our lives. All of us are in this together. None of us are sinless. We all have areas in our lives that I believe Holy Spirit is going to be allowed to do His job and speak into our lives and release us and empower us to do what we're called to do. And I believe that as tonight, as we begin this, there's going to be some questions come into your heart. I want you to write those things down. I want over the next few weeks after church together is finished, to come to me, to come to the elders and say, I've got this question about Holy Spirit. I've got this question about the fruit of the Spirit. I've got this question about the gifts of the Spirit. I've got this question about the triune nature of God. And over the weeks and evenings to follow, we're going to tease out those questions. We're going to work in workshop style, not just me preach to you, but us come together and ask the questions and together to discover what God wants us to do with this person who we call the Holy Spirit. I think we've done enough talking about Him. We need to start living with Him. Let's open our Bibles tonight at the book of John, chapter 16, and see what Jesus said with the voice of the Father to His followers of the time. I believe we're in for a radical time. I believe we're in for a releasing time. I believe we're in for a freedom time. I believe we're in for an empowering time. But we need to focus on that Holy Spirit, that third person of the triune nature of God, who has come to us to be with us always. Amen? Let's begin in verse 5 of John chapter 16. I'm reading from the Amplified. Follow me if you can. If not, ask questions and we'll come back to it in a fortnight's time. Jesus speaking. But now I'm going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. The Amplified says, taken complete possession of them. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send Him to you to be in close fellowship with you. Verse 8. And when He comes, not if He comes, but when He comes, He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, about uprightness of heart and right standing with God, and about judgment. About sin, verse 9, because they do not believe in me, trust in, rely on, and adhere to me. About righteousness, uprightness of heart and right standing with God, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. Verse 11, about judgment. Because the ruler, the evil genius, the prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned and sentenced already, is passed upon him. And I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, verse 13, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you things are about to come that will happen in the future. And He will honor and glorify me, because He will take of what is mine and reveal it to you. Verse 15. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal them to you. What an awesome passage of Jesus speaking into the future of His church. Aren't you glad that God, through His Son, Jesus said, now it's the time for me to go, but wait, Holy Spirit is going to come and He will be with you always. I was reading a story the other day about an illiterate man who was converted through the work of the Salvation Army. And he went regularly to the church service, and he came home one Sunday morning and his wife said, what's wrong? You look so down in the dumps. What's happening? You used to enjoy going to church. He said, I've just noticed that everyone in the church wears red jumpers and I'm the only one that doesn't. So I said, that's okay. I'll knit you a red jumper, ready for next Sunday. So off he went. Next Sunday, he come home and she says, how did this morning go? He goes, I'm not happy. I said, why not? You've got a red jumper just like everyone else. He said, but they've got a little embroidered thing on their jumper and I want one just like them. Does anyone know what it says? Fire and blood. Fire and blood is the symbol of the Salvation Army. So his wife said, that's all right. I'll fix it up for you next Sunday. Now she's illiterate too. She can't read, she can't write, but she can sew. So into that knitted woolen jumper, she sews this little motto into his red jumper. And he comes home the following Sunday. He's so excited. And she said, honey, what happened? He said, everyone commented on my new sweater. He said, to the point where they want to put theirs aside and get one just like mine. She said, so what was the reason? He said, apparently, when you wrote on this, you didn't write fire and blood. You wrote under new management, and everyone thought it was glorious. But isn't it true? We come to Christ. We give up our life, we surrender it to Him, and we should be, from that point forward, under new management. That's right, we do. I can remember as a young lad taking road trips with my family. Every January holidays, we would take holidays, and Dad would take time off work, and we'd head away in our F.B. Holden, four kids, Mum and Dad, and an old blonde wood caravan, a real crusty piece of work. But as a young person, it never used to worry me about where we were going, what we'd eat, what we'd wear, where we'd go, what we'd be doing. As long as I had my surfboard, a pair of shorts and a singlet, I was happy to get the soap and the toothbrush. But we'd go, and one particular year, Dad took 6 weeks off. And we went through right through Victoria, New South Wales, up and down the coast, and I had a ball. Every day I was fed at least 3 times a day. Every day I would at least get 2 hours of surf. And every night I would sleep like a baby because I was so exhausted. But you know, Dad was the driver. Mum was the navigator. And we kids in the back used to continually say, as all kids do, how much further? Are we there yet? But you know, as I was remembering that the other night, I thought how much that is like our walk with God. We're waiting for that day when Jesus comes through the clouds. I don't know about you. I know there's still a work to be done. But there's going to be a one day when all my cares are gone, when all my pain is gone, where all my anxiety is gone, where all my lack is gone. And I get called up in the air to be with Him. It might be next year. It might be the next 20 years. It might be the next 50 years. But God, in His awesome plan, sends Holy Spirit to be with us. You know, for some of us, life is like that 6 week road trip. It's not like a short vacation. It's not like we can cram everything into a week and then head back to normality. Life seems to be, Jesus, come quickly. Lord, when are you coming? Lord, when is all this going to end? But God never promised a time except the time that He would make when He would send His Son back to us. But I thank God for the input into those disciples in this passage we now call John chapter 16. This is the night before He's arrested and crucified. And He says, it's expedient for you that I go. And I really think that it's time that we came back to that point, that Jesus left at the right time for Holy Spirit to come so that you and I can live without Him here in our presence. Amen? He says words like, I'm going to Him who has sent me. And none of you ask me, Where am I going? Why would Jesus say something like that? Because the focus for the disciples is, where am I going to be in this? What's going to happen to me? Where do I sit if, Jesus, you go home to be the one with the one who sent you? What about my family? What about my finances? What about me, 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 me? And you may not read that in the passage, but that's what I read. If Jesus is asking the question, none of you ask me where I'm going, it means the disciples had their minds elsewhere, even though they were hearing the very words of God in their ears. Jesus had the idea that without him, his church intended, the church he said he would build, would just dissipate into nothingness. And that is very much the case in many modern churches today. They're falling away from faith. They're falling away from the vision and the dreams God's given them. Jesus is going to suddenly disappear from their lives and go back to heaven. And they don't understand it. It makes no sense to them at all. They huddle around like sheep without a shepherd. But they're only worried about themselves as sheep rather than worry about what God's got planned for them. I like the way the passage starts off. It says, but now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, where am I going? Verse 6. But because I have said these things to you. Jesus just didn't suddenly go and leave them empty-handed. He didn't go and just say, that's it, I'm out of here, I've done my bit, it's your business now. He talked about the things and reminded them to think about the things that he'd already told them. Verses 1 to 4, if you want to read it later. Jesus is seeking to engage his disciples not only about the things that are going to happen to him, but the promise of the Father that will happen for them when Holy Spirit comes as his replacement. But they're too preoccupied for themselves. Can I bring that into 2018? Are we too preoccupied with ourselves without focusing on what Holy Spirit is saying for us to go out and do? Or are we truly, truly listening to that voice of Holy Spirit, laying aside what we concerned ourselves with and following what he's called us to do? It's a principle. I've listed some things here. What ways are you hurting today? Do you have physical pain and suffering? Do you have cancer in your body, back pain, migraine? Why don't you reach out to someone rather than focus on yourself and claim the healing that God's got for you? Do you have a marriage or a family sorrow or pain? Are you worried about your relationships? Are you concerned about your disobedient kids? Put them in the hands of God. Trust God in what he's doing and reach out to someone who needs comfort in their area. Are you dissatisfied in your job? Do you want more pay? Do you want more promotion? Have you got a difficult boss? Have you got difficult co-workers? Reach out to someone who's really going through pain and show and share the love of God to them. God's idea for us was to take on the work and the person of the Holy Spirit within us and go about doing what he called us to do. In a passage here in verse 7, Jesus said, but I tell you what? The truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And I know I've preached on that before. It is to your advantage that I go away. Now that would come as a shock to most followers of Jesus. I think if you were in the room with him then, you'd be going, really? Explain, please. I love the way Jesus comes through with the promise of the Father. He says, "For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." But if I go away, I've got to be gone for him to come. Jesus has gone away. Holy Spirit has come. Has Holy Spirit gone away? Is he come? He is. He came on that day of Pentecost. And yet I hear so many believers talk about the love of God, their Lord and their Savior Jesus, and Holy Spirit. It's about that time. And Holy Spirit. Think about the plan of God. That he sends his Son, Jesus, to save you. He sends his Son to save those who would receive him, no matter who that is. And then he says, "I know you can't do it alone, so it's to your advantage if I go, so I'm sending Holy Spirit." And you go, "Oh yeah, Holy Spirit, yeah." We've got to remember that this is the third person of the body of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three working together for your benefit. Father's love, the saving nature of Jesus, there's no way to the Father except through the Son, and the power that the Holy Spirit gives you in your day-to-day living. Why was it so important that the disciples had Holy Spirit with them rather than Jesus? Absolutely. And everywhere the disciples went, they kept reporting back to Jesus. Remember in Luke, he sent away the 70, two by two, and they came back and they reported to Jesus. He sends out the 12, and they come back and they report to Jesus. He goes up on the mount to preach, and they all follow Jesus. And Jesus is thinking globally, and all the disciples are thinking locally. So God in his wisdom says, we can't keep doing it this way. There is a better way. Holy Spirit, you're in. Jesus, you're home with me. And so every believer has access to the Holy Spirit of God always, everywhere. Are you with me? So the presence of God is not just where Jesus is. The presence of God is everywhere because if he's in you, he goes everywhere you go. He doesn't do everything you do, because some things you do, some things I do, he goes, "I'm not going there." That's what he wants to work on now. That the things that Holy Spirit is not comfortable with, I believe he's going to start speaking into the lives of true believers, and he's going to say, "Get your hands off that. Get your eyes off that. Get your ears off that. Get your mouth out of that." He's going to convict us, which is what Jesus promised here in the passage. It's not just going to convict the world, he's going to convict believers of their sin nature that still abounds. So why do we have a helper? We all need help. Why do we need a counselor? Because we all need a counselor. Anyone here need a comforter? Two hands. Anyone need an intercessor on your behalf? Two hands. You see, God in his wisdom said, "I'm going to send Holy Spirit." But Jesus said, "I can't hang around if he's coming." Because you think about it. Who will I go to today? Oh, Jesus. I can touch Jesus. I can look Jesus in the eye. I can have cups of tea and coffee with Jesus. I can take up all his time all day. He said, "I've got a bigger plan. I've got a plan for planet Earth. If we're just going to hang around where I hang around, it's just not going to work. I release your disciples and you keep coming back. I love the fact you keep coming back, but I want you to go. I want you to keep going. I want you to circumnavigate the earth. I want you to go north to south, east where it meets west. I want you to keep infiltrating planet Earth with the gospel, the good news that Father sent me with. And even in our walk of faith, we still need the help of Holy Spirit. Two advantages, two major advantages of the Spirit's coming, and I'm just going to finish off with this tonight. Number one, He convicts the world. Let's follow it through in our Bibles tonight. John 16, 8 through to 11. And it says, and when He comes, I quite often debate with people about the it of the Holy Spirit. He's not an it, He's a He. When the Greek word talks about the Spirit of God, it's talking about a neutral gender. It's not talking about a thing. It's talking about a neutral gender. But the Bible, the Word of God specifically says that the Holy Spirit is a He. But when He comes to you, and when He comes to you, not a but, that was an and, He will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. Verse 9, about sin. Because they, the world, do not believe in me. Jesus said, there's got to be someone that can come and convict the world. Because the world is so big. Now Jesus could have transported himself anywhere he liked. But he knew that he had to be in certain places at certain times. Holy Spirit can circumnavigate in an instant or quicker. He can be with me here in Australia. He can be with Reinhard Bonnke in Africa. He can be with Charlie and Kathy in Thailand. He can be with Kenneth Copeland in America. All at the same time. Because He, the Holy Spirit, has the power of God, the direct authority of God in Him. His job, verse 10, about righteousness. Because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. About judgment. I want you to see this tonight. Because the ruler, the Amplified says, the evil genius, the prince of this world, Satan, is judged and condemned, and sentence already is passed upon him. King James is bringing back of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Who is he? He's the prince of this world. How do I know that? Jesus said it, not just in this passage, but others. He's got authority. He's got power. He's got dominion over this world to anyone that wants to disregard God, falls into the dominion of Satan himself. Am I right? There's no middle of the road. There's no sitting on the fence. Reject God. You're bowing down to the prince of this world. And Jesus confirms with the disciples, before he's gone to the cross, before he's dead, before he's crucified, that the ruler, the prince of this world, is already, past tense, judged. Then he goes on. Verse 12. I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them, or to take them upon you, or to grasp them now. I think that's a problem within the modern day church. We're slipping away from that reverential fear of God. We're falling away from what His Word says, and we're compromising and bowing the knee to all sorts of things that are not supported by the Word of God. And we're not able to grasp what the truth of the Word says. Oh yes, but times are different, and we live in a different culture. And Australia's not like the Middle East. And, you know, my kids grew up in the church and they've got a different view. Where does it say the view of God has changed? Thank you. But we bow. We bend. We twist. We compromise. We use Scripture out of context that makes the message sound good, but it lacks the power therein because it's a form of godliness and it lacks God's power. Holy Spirit came for the church as much as He came for the world. Jesus said you can't even grasp them now. But when He, the Spirit of Truth, who's going to argue with the Spirit of Truth? Calling out tonight, show us your glory. Show us your glory will expose sin-filled nature. Show us your glory will show us areas in our lives that don't line up with His Word. We've got to start getting our sin-filled nature out and our God-filled nature back on track. This is the year to do it. To keep right with God, to get our slate clean, to keep it clean. And the Holy Spirit may surprise you one day. And He'll tap you on the shoulder. And go, what about this? Thought about that? You read the passage where it says this. None of us are escaping that at the moment. We all have a nature of sin knocking at our door on a regular basis. But He, the Spirit of Truth, when He comes, He will guide you into all the truth. That might hurt. That might ruffle a few feathers. That might cause people to look for a different church. That might cause people to look for a different version of the Bible. That might get them to start reading something that agrees with their thinking rather than what the Word of God says. But He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, the Amplified says, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come. He will honor and glorify Me, because He will take of Me what is Mine and disclose it, the Amplified says, or transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is Mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are Mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. You know, sometimes when you get a change of leadership, you get a bit of a shift in the vision, a bit of a shift in the dreams, a bit of shift in the policy, and you get the old diehards, oh, we've never done it that way, boss. Policy is policy. This is the way we've always done it. I can't think of a better policy to follow than this Bible. That when the Word of God, the Holy Spirit inspired Word of God, speaks the truth into my life, who am I to say, God, can we change the rules a bit? Can we shift the goalposts? Can we have a little bit of allowance? God, can I live under grace? And He's going to say, yes, you can live under grace, but don't discount what Holy Spirit's going to remind you of. Now, I'm going to finish off there tonight. But we have so much more to discuss and tease out and go deeper with the things of the Spirit. I believe tonight that worship was really just starting to kick off what God wants to do. And when we're saying, Lord, show me your glory, and He begins to reveal to you areas in your life that restrict the flow of His glory, we might all end up like Dennis. We might all end up flat on the floor just in His presence saying, Lord, I never realized I'd done that. I never realized it was so bad in your eyes. And I'm like that song, I'm not afraid. I want to stand before the Lord on Judgment Day and say, Lord, I know that what I've done and what I haven't done, what I've said and haven't said, I'm accountable for that. But Lord, please, let it be a short report. Better than that, let it be a nil report. Not an easy call. But you're here tonight, can I encourage you? You're here tonight because you're hungry for the things of the Spirit. Bible says we are not warring against flesh and blood, but we are warring against powers and principalities. Powers and principalities that have been enlarged and heightened and encouraged to war against us as believers in God. Witches, warlocks, spiritualists, all working against the power of God. We know He's greater. But let's show the world that He's greater. Let's begin to operate. Let's open ourselves. Let's humble ourselves before Almighty God. Let's put down some pride and not say or pretend that we know it all. Let's humble ourselves and say, God, if there's an area in my life, not in front of everyone, but while I'm in my prayer closet, Lord, come in, show me some stuff. And I'm convinced, I'm fully persuaded, we'll start to see the overflow in here. We'll start to see it in the places you work, the places where you hang out with people. The show me your glory comes at a cost, comes with a price. The Holy Spirit's going to reveal the truth about you to you. Praise God, He doesn't reveal the truth about me to you, or the truth about you to me. But praise God that He's saying to you, come with me to a quiet place. Let's work this out together. You can come in, wash clean by the blood of the Lamb. Filled afresh with His Holy Spirit. Filled afresh on that daily basis. Filled to overflowing. Flowing out into your community. You know, I really believe we're in for a treat with the Holy Spirit. I believe the Father's saying, they're asking for it. Boy, if they want it, I'm going to give it to them. And He's got a smile on His face. God's as keen to have Holy Spirit come into your life as He is for just us to stand all day and worship Him. And get into our life. We can be like John the Baptist. Less of me, more of Him. All of Him and none of me will be the final outcome. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, shall we?